Listening to Alison Ferns, and it's time to take a look through the day's papers with our lunch break guest Amy Harrison, a copywriter from Brighton. So this story about people being bribed, for want of a better word, to lose weight. I don't know, is it a good idea? Will it work?
I don't think it will. I think it's a too simplistic solution to a very complex problem. And I also think that not everyone is motivated by money. You know, I don't know if you've heard of I really like this story because with copywriting, it's all about persuading people with words. It's all about finding a really persuasive argument to get people to either think a certain way or take an action, sign up, register. And one of the people that I'm working with, they are really focused on gamification. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
So it sounds, the name is, it's very boring, but it's actually very interesting. So it's taking, you know, it's looking at why do people get addicted to games? Why do people spend hours playing something, you know, very simple, like, you know, a simple app game? They can play hours and hours and it's got their attention and all their, you know, they'll spend so much time on it. How do we take that kind of addiction levels and look at why that's so interesting to them and apply it to other things? And it's going into a lot of, you know, the motivations and the triggers behind this, like status. So people are probably less, you know, people like to feel like, you know, in comparison to other people, that they have done really well. You know, so you get this a lot in sales, where they'll have a sales board and listing the top person. Community aspects, social aspects to a game is really important. That's why they're always trying to get you to go on Facebook and tell you, you know, what your latest score was. And there's some, you know, this, I think there are some organisations that do this really well around fitness, things like Weight Watchers and Slimming World, because they have this, you know, point system. It's staying within, you know, so many points for the weeks. Yeah. And it's sort of, it's looking at how to almost play a game around it, but that deals with long-term habits, rather than just do this for so long, lose so many pounds, and we'll give you a voucher.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think as well, with the slimming groups, there is that sense of community, isn't there? There's that sense of we're all in this together. Yep. And it becomes part of your routine, and you kind of go there every week, and you get to know the
other
people.
You can share tips, you can talk about what you've struggled with, what you found really good, and mastery as well. So, you know, you can see yourself improving. You know, if you take up exercise, it's not just about, you know, you can time your runs and see you're getting faster and you know, that's a really big motivation.
Do you know what? That could be the solution. I mean, these slimming groups do seem to get results. I wonder why the government don't spend the money that they were going to spend in rewarding people's weight loss to perhaps work alongside these groups such as Slimming World, Weight Watchers, Rosemary Connolly. Yeah. There's loads of them out there. maybe, obviously the NHS haven't got the resources or all the time necessarily to spend with people helping them lose weight, but these other companies do have, so perhaps there's kind of a partnership there they could look at.
Yeah, because they deal with the day-to-day, you know, so every day you're looking, it's not just you know, I know for myself, the only time I've been really super conscious about getting fit and in shape was leading up to my wedding.
Yeah.
And it was nothing about, you know, you couldn't have been...
It wasn't a cash incentive.
It was the photos.
They're going to be around for a long time.
Exactly.
There's something in that. I'd love to hear from you on this. Would a cash bribe, a shopping voucher, help you lose weight? This isn't the first time they've done this. They did a trial. I think it was in the Northeast. I remember doing it on the show maybe a year or so ago. They were offering shopping vouchers to mothers who breastfed. Now, how successful a trial that was, I don't know. The fact that we haven't seen it rolled out across the country may mean that it wasn't that successful. I don't know. But do you think there is anything in this? I mean, the thing you can't argue about really is that there is a problem. They need to do something. It's estimated that half of all British adults could be obese by 2030. That is a massive strain on the NHS. So you can kind of see they've got to do something. But is this it? What other options are there? Would it work for you if someone were to say to you, if your employer, because this is the other thing, this is going to be done through employers.
Yeah.
They will then receive tax breaks if they reward workers who shift pounds. And I was saying earlier, what an awkward conversation to have with your boss.
Yeah.
Alison, can I just have a chat with you quickly in the office?
Here's the scales.
Yeah.
Let's see how you've done.
Yes. I couldn't bear it. No. Now that would be motivation for me in itself.
Well, that's it. And I don't think enough. I don't think they've maybe looked at what motivates people, what triggers, because people are motivated by different things, and also different situations motivate different people. So they found that, you know, if you've got a particularly mundane job, you're more, you know, that's say, you know, very repetitive, then you can be motivated by vouchers, because it almost becomes like a game, like, okay, just do this, do it quickly. But they found that with things like call centers, where they were dealing with complex problems or complex IT problems, giving them vouchers didn't incentivize them, because the call center workers wanted to solve the problem, not just get through as many people during a day. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they've really thought about, you know, what is going to motivate people. And I think money is a simple thing to think, yeah, vouchers, who doesn't love a voucher? But there's a lot of people that, you know, aren't that bothered about vouchers and cash for something like this, which is going to take up a lot of effort every day.
Yeah. I wish they'd kind of get onto the foods industry, you know, and tackle that, tackle the hidden sugar that people don't realise is there, you know, the misleading packaging. Yeah. So you think, oh, that's low fat, that's good for me. Yeah. You know, and you don't realise that it's got loads and loads of sugar in. That's where I feel that the problem lies. That's where they should be looking.
But yeah, and that's quite unfair, because that is people trying to do well, and they're not getting the right information.
Absolutely. You can have your say on this. The number 03459570057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Amy Harrison joins us in the studio to take a look through the day's papers. We've been discussing this story over whether overweight workers should be bribed to slim down. It's all part of a new 5-point plan for the NHS. It will include plans to reward workers who shift the pounds, so there'll be cash in incentives on offer, shopping vouchers, prizes. It's like a game show, really. In fact, it's probably not long until Simon Cowell makes that phone call and we see it at primetime ITV. In fact, I think there have been programmes.
Yeah, isn't the biggest loser?
Yeah, this has already been tried behind the times.
And that's something that shows perfectly. You know, people want to sort of show off what they've done. They want to get better. They want to beat other people. And those are the things where people can go crazy and get really motivated to do things.
Yeah, that's the other thing, though. You do see a lot of the time people do lose a lot of weight, but of course then it comes back on.
Yeah.
So what happens if you lose a lot of weight? They give you your cash incentive, then you put it back on.
Yeah, can you keep getting the vouchers? I've just spotted a loophole.
Yeah, I mean, what do? You go, oh yeah, no, I lost £6. Can I have my 50 quid shopping voucher? Thank you. Then you put it back on, then you go back and say, oh, look, I'm heavy again. If I lose it again, can I get another voucher? I mean, this could go on and on. Martin calls from Horsham. Afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, Alison.
Hello, what do you think? Good idea?
Not really. I think really the incentive should be perhaps giving the obese person more time to get home into their kitchen and cook meals rather than using pre-packed food.
Ah, so tell employers to let them go home early rather than give them money.
Yes. Because the amount of fats and sugars that are in pre-packed dinners, which we all rush in and throw in the microwave and then stuff down our throats, rather than cooking good, wholesome food yourself.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I was saying earlier. And sometimes people don't realise, because they look at the packaging and it says low fat or what have you, and you think, oh, OK, well, this is good for me. But, of course, you don't necessarily realise the amount of sugar and salt that's in there.
No, and saturated fats are thrown in just to keep you the food longer on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Would it work for you, though, Martin? If I were to say to you, I'm not saying you do need to lose any weight, but if I were to say to you, I tell you what, Martin, you lose half a stone and I'll give you a £50 shopping voucher. Would you say, yeah, you're on, you've got yourself a deal? Or
Probably not. I mean, they tried something similar at work with our smoking campaign, Give Up Smoking, and a number of us received £75 for giving up smoking.
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, some of us remained off fags and some of them didn't after they got their 75 quid.
Oh, I see. See, that's the other... Yeah, that's the other thing. Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, you could lose the weight, get your money, then just go and put the weight back on again, then lose it again for another set of vouchers. Martin, thank you for your call. Do join in the conversation this afternoon. The number 03459570057. We've also been talking about Halloween. Mm-hmm. Of course, a week tomorrow is the night itself. What do you think about Halloween and trick-or-treating? Are you one of these people who kind of... disconnects your doorbell and goes to hide in the back room, or are you out there on the streets?
I love Halloween.
Right, you're one of those.
But my efforts around Halloween are usually pretty lame. Like, my husband and I, when we first moved into the flat, we yeah, we'll do pumpkins, and we bought in a load of chocolate. And because of just, I think, because we are in a flat block rather than a house, no one came.
Oh.
We just sat and ate all the chocolate.
Yeah, that happened to me one year. I was sat there, I was all organised. I was like, oh, come on in, let the doorbell go. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Last year we had a few, though.
Yeah, we didn't, and I thought it's going to look a little bit weird if we go out into the street and try and give sweets to children.
It doesn't work the other way around.
But no. I mean, the idea of trick-or-treating, it doesn't really, and I heard you talking about it before, I think if streets get organised and you know the neighbours and you're expecting them, I think that's lovely. I think that's like a street party.
Well, that's what we did last year. We went to a lovely Halloween party that a friend of mine who just lives down the road held, and it wasn't scary. It was catered for little ones, you know, like little sandwiches that looked like spiders and all that kind of stuff, and they had a great time. And then we just went to houses of people we knew, and they loved
it. I think that's lovely, because when I was little, we lived in a village, and my dad was dead against it, but he was away, and Mum said, no, I'll go and take you trick-or-treating. And the first house that we called on was someone that my mum knew, but Mum had sort of stayed at the end of the drive to make us feel grown up, as though we were doing it on our own. And he opened the door, couldn't see my mum, just saw me and my brother, and just shouted at us because he thought that we'd walked through the cement on his driveway.
Oh.
And never went trick-or-treating again. We just came home in tears.
That would put you off. Yeah. I'm so mean, though. I didn't like the idea of my two being dressed up as skeletons and what have you. So I dressed them up as Peter Pan and Tinkerbell. They've never quite forgiven me for that. It was either that or a pumpkin.
Yeah.
I don't like those really ghoulish costumes. Some of them are a bit over the top.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this year, I'm going up north near where all my family are, and I'll be going out on the weekend with my friends and doing the dressing up thing, but my nieces are having a little Halloween party, and I got so excited because I love the sort of apple bobbing, and I can just see myself being a bit over enthusiastic,
and they'll be like, oh my gosh, she's so embarrassing. Laura calls from Surrey on this.
Hello Laura,
do you love Halloween?
I absolutely love it, yes.
Oh my gosh, you've got a contender for the Halloween crown.
Absolutely, so do you really go for it?
Oh really?
Oh wow.
Yeah. I know that's a bit weird, but yes.
So what will you be doing then to celebrate?
We're actually going to a friend's party. That's one thing I was going to say, is as much as I love it, I don't agree at all with just banging on people's doors, especially like older people. I think it's really out of order.
Yeah, well, you can see how people could become really intimidated.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard
our earlier caller. I mean, he wasn't from around here. He was just here on holiday. Look, I'm trying to distance myself. It wouldn't happen in Sussex and Surrey. He lived in southeast London. But he, in all seriousness, was having a nightmare to the point where they go away at Halloween because they get gangs of youths hanging around outside throwing bricks.
Yeah, I mean, that is ridiculous. And that's not what it's about, you know?
Of course not. Of course not. I mean, that's just awful.
Yeah.
So you will really go for it. So what outfit will we be seeing you in, Laura, this year?
Well, I quite like going as Dracula's bride, so...
Nice. Yeah. Subtle. Very good.
Yeah, nice and uplifting.
Lovely.
Lots of fake blood and, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. And a big party, the pumpkin, the whole lot.
Yeah, and I think people, especially like with children, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, the houses that like it, they have all kind of the stuff outside, but I think, you know, houses that don't, I think just avoid those. And like you say, go to houses where you kind of, if you know them. And I remember I used to go when I was younger. My mum didn't have a problem with it at all, and I used to go, a friend of mine would always go as witches. And I actually have to say, confess that I didn't, you know, I kind of just went to everyone's houses. And looking back, I think, God, that was actually really bad. But when you're young, you don't think like that.
Well, it's actually really dangerous.
Yeah.
We tell our children, you know, stranger danger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not one night of the year.
Yeah,
just go for it. Just go and knock on any old person's house.
That's all sweet.
Yeah, it is a bizarre concept. I have a friend, Lou. Oh, my gosh, she's brilliant. She really goes for it.
Yeah.
To the point where she has speakers outside her house. Seriously.
I'm not that bad.
She's brilliant at all that kind of stuff, though.
Like,
if she's got a theme, she embraces it fully. But she's probably listening. Hello, Lou. She really goes for it. She's got speakers with kind of like spooky music and spooky sounds. There are like bodies coming out of her front lawn.
Wow.
I mean, it's fabulous. I mean,
I would love that. And when I lived in Toronto, they have this thing called Screamers, and you go to like this convention centre and they have separate things all set up, and it's like going through a haunted house, but they have live actors that will chase you and run around, and it's that safe fear, you know, being scared. And that's what I love about Halloween.
Yeah, I went in one of those haunted houses once in America. Oh my gosh, never again. It was just, it was just awful. There was a man chasing me with a chainsaw.
Yeah, we had the same thing.
It's just horrific. I'm just such a wuss. Well, Laura, I hope you enjoy Halloween. Thank you so much for your call. You can join in the conversation this afternoon. The number 03 459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio.
That's a bit spooky. You're talking about Halloween. The lights just went out. What?
Like you planned it.
Yeah, weird. I don't know if I'm about to have a power cut or ever. If I suddenly just go like this, then you'll know something happened. But at the moment, I'm still here. It's just gone 1:30. Alison Ferns here with you on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. Amy Harrison is our lunch break guest, taking a look through the papers for us. I love this next story. This is the lady who spent a long time in KFC.
Yeah, she'd just broken up with a boyfriend, and she was wandering around the shopping centre, and she spotted a KFC. Bit of comfort food.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Went in, sat down, ordered some wings. And then she said, I just felt like I needed a bit more time to think. Mm. And she stayed for a week.
That's a lot of buckets, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a 24-hour restaurant. She was there for a week. And she said, she just started to think about it. And then she ordered more. But the thing that I find quite amusing is that for 3 days, no one realised, because they're all on shifts. So everyone's working slightly different shifts.
Of course.
And then it wasn't, obviously, they've done a cycle and thought, actually...
Hang on a minute. That woman's been there quite some time.
Her, yeah. And they went over and they said, you know, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I just need a bit of time. And then she asked for some wings and extra fries.
And she stayed in KFC for a week.
And she called off
sick. A lot of fried chicken.
Yeah, she told her employers that she wasn't very well.
Wow, and then we wouldn't be after a week in KFC. My gosh, what? Wow, she was in a bad place.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the fried chicken restaurant. She really was. Wow. You can join in the conversation this afternoon. I doubt you've ever spent a week in KFC, but hey, you may have. You may have thoughts on that. The other topics we're discussing are trick-or-treating. Where do you stand on Halloween? Maybe you love it. Maybe you love the fact that a lot of us have caught on to this American tradition. Is it fun for all the family? Or maybe, actually, like some of our callers this afternoon, you find it a little bit intimidating. Also, today we're talking about this plan to bribe people into losing weight. A new 5-point plan for the NHS will include plans to reward workers who shift the pounds. There will be cash incentives, shopping vouchers and prizes. The firms themselves will then get tax breaks to pay for this. It's estimated that half of all British adults could be obese by 2030, so maybe this is the only way to go. You can call me 03 459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Amy Harrison is our lunch break guest this afternoon. This next story, I hate to admit it, but I can relate to this. Shortcut grooming techniques. Mm-hmm. Go on then, take us through some of these suggestions.
So the three ones that have been suggested, that, and I think a lady tested them out. First one, washing half of your hair. Also known as a fringe wash.
I've done it. I've been there. I've definitely done it. Yeah.
So instead of jumping in the shower, washing the whole of your hair, it's, you know, get over a sink, get a brush out.
Sort the fringe, because sometimes it's the fringe that goes a little bit greasy. The rest you can just about get away with.
Yeah.
Other top tips when it comes to hair and not having time to wash it personally, dry shampoo. How did I live without dry shampoo?
Well, you see, it doesn't work for me. I thought, oh my, this is amazing, because I you know, a little bit of oil on the top, and it just, I looked like I was trying to dress up as an older person, you know, like in a really bad costume, because I just had grey hair at the top. Obviously, I'd either used too much or not brushed it in properly.
Yeah, you've got to brush it out properly. Otherwise, you do get a grey tinge, which isn't so great. Other top tips?
One was shaving only half your leg. Now, I wasn't quite sure what this meant. I wasn't sure if it just meant like the outside bit.
No, that would be weird. No, of course, it means just doing, you know, just between the ankle and knee.
Yeah, and then just showing that part off.
Yeah. I do that with fake tan sometimes.
Really?
Look really peculiar with my clothes off. I'm just lying my knees downwards, brown, and then really white.
Everything's
rest of the
about knee length skirts and crop trousers.
Yeah, well, some of you haven't got time, have you, for all that faffing?
Nope. And the last one was Febrezing your clothes just for a quick freshen up.
That's quite a good idea. I've done it with perfume, but
I've never done it with Febreze. I don't even think I've used Febreze, but apparently this lady, she tested it, and then her husband told her halfway through the night that she smelled a bit funny. I think they were at a dinner party, and he was like, it's a cross between sort of lavender and something you find at the back of your grandma's cupboard. So I don't think that worked too well.
No, not what she's looking for. Oh, this is a good one. I want to know about your shortcut grooming techniques, tricks of the trade. What do you do when you just haven't got enough time to perhaps be as groomed as you would like? You've got to find little shortcuts. I get that. It was like yesterday I came into work and two of my colleagues said to me, oh, we're looking very Audrey Hepburn today. I thought, are you serious? I've had about 3.5 hours sleep and I feel like I've been dragged through a bush backwards because I had my hair up. The only reason I had my hair up was because I hadn't had time to wash my hair. I was like, wow, if that makes you like Audrey Hepburn, I'm on that more often.
Yeah.
Your shortcut grooming techniques, please, your suggestions, go and share them with us today. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333 to start your message with the word radio. We are taking a look through the papers with Amy Harrison, our lunch break guest. We've been talking a little bit about trick or treating and Halloween. It seems to become increasingly bigger every year, doesn't it? I mean, you go into the supermarkets now and it's like whole aisles devoted to it.
Yeah.
Whereas in my day, it was a bit of apple bobbing and that was it.
Well, that was it, you know, and when I was little, it was you were a witch or you were Dracula.
Yeah, whereas
or
now...
Or a mummy or a girl. Now, I mean, just the...
You know the most popular outfit for Halloween this year?
What's that?
Is so distasteful. One of those Ebola hazmat suits. Yeah. I didn't know it was called a hazmat suit until I read it in the paper. But yeah, one of those kind of suits that people wear.
People will push bad taste. I've seen a few funny ones. Like I did see one that for pregnant ladies and with their bump. Do you remember Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball?
Oh, yes.
So there's a T-shirt that you can wear that makes your bump look like the Wrecking Ball, and then you've got Miley Cyrus. Oh, I love stuff like that. I do think people get very creative, but I'm terrible when it comes to thinking of costumes.
I'm not great. Am I going to wear something? I'm going to have a little something this year. So maybe I'm going to have to think of an outfit. Oh, well. Esme calls from Burgess Hill on this. Afternoon, Esme.
Hello.
I'm good, thank you. We've been talking a little bit about trick or treat, and of course, a lot of people dread this time of year because they can't stand that doorbell going.
That's right.
And we've heard some awful stories actually about, you know, some people, if you like, just sort of taking advantage and just using this as an excuse for petty vandalism.
Well, I was listening to your program earlier, and said and that's why I phoned, because they told them you were talking about a family that are absolutely petrified.
Yeah, awful.
Because, well, this is what it's all about, money now, isn't it?
Mm.
They want money. If you don't give it to them, put a brick through the window.
I mean, I have to say, and touch wood, I personally have never come across that. The only people who knock at my door tend to be little kids with their parents.
Yeah.
They want a packet of Haribo and they're on their way. Do you know what I mean? I haven't come across this kind of older children asking for money, and thankfully I haven't come across any vandalism. But I know Fiona, who's producing the show today, she had it where someone smashed her outside light because she didn't answer the door.
There you go. Mm. Yeah, did you see that? This is what happens. Now, what I told her was to get in touch. Tell them to get in touch with their local neighbourhood watch coordinator.
Oh, right.
Now, I've got, which I'm looking through now, I'm looking through all my things. If you want to contact, you can contact Crime Stoppers.
Right.
And I'll give you the number for that.
Okay, please
That's
do.
0800
yeah.
555
Yeah.
111.
Okay, fabulous.
Right? Now, that will put you in touch with that department of the police. And ask them, if you can't get hold of... If they don't know their number of their neighbourhood watch coordinator, to do that, to get to the police and explain that they are petrified because they've had bricks through the windows. Mm. And could they have a notice to put in the window to say no trick and treat? Unfortunately, I've just been through all my books here and my papers, and it looks as though I've given all mine out.
Oh, bless you. Yeah. Well, don't worry. I'm sure people have got a week to get hold of one of these posters.
Well, that's a black notice with large white writing on it, obviously, so people could see it in the dark.
Sure.
And put it in their front window.
Yeah.
So that it's seen when they come up the path, their front path, seen by people, and of course it'll have the probably, I'm not quite sure, but I'm looking at all these of my other things I've got. You will have a police notice on the top.
Yeah, sure, and hopefully that'll be enough to deter people. Esme, thank you so much. So Esme there with some sound advice. If you don't want trick-or-treaters calling this year, she suggests you get hold of your neighbourhood watch coordinator and get one of these notices that you can actually put in your window to tell people that that you don't want trick-or-treaters. Now, this next story you've come across, Amy, I'm very interested in. Mm-hmm. My boss probably will be less interested. This is an article about how to go about asking for a pay rise.
Yeah, so it turns out that in some survey, more than half of people are too afraid to ask for a pay rise. Mm. People are nervous to ask about it. People are worried that they'll lose their job if they ask for it.
People are worried that they'll get told no.
Yeah, or worried about looking ungrateful or damaging the relationship that they have with their boss. And it's understandable because if you think about it, this isn't something we're ever taught how to do, how to negotiate salaries. And it's something that I think, you know, back in the day when you sort of had a job for life, you assumed that your manager would look after you. And a lot of people do. They assume that my work will be recognised and I'll be taken care of and I don't have to actually do that. Mm. When in actual fact, you know, you probably be surprised at what you can achieve, you know, if by looking at pay reviews or talking about pay reviews. But I do think there's a way to do it. And
are you good at doing it?
Probably not in person, but I, like, as I say, you know, my profession is copywriting, and so I'm pretty good at being persuasive in writing. So a lot of the client negotiations that I do is all in writing, and the key for me when I'm doing it is to say, you know, this is why you should pay me this
okay,
much.
Okay, go on. Take me a letter now to my boss.
Okay, so, and I've seen it from the other side. So I've seen it where people have come to me and asked for pay rises when I was in full-time employment and working for someone else. And some of the things that you want to avoid are saying things like, well, I want to buy a house, or I want to go on holiday, so I'm going to need more money.
Okay, I'll delete that bit from my email. The holiday line. Out it comes.
And
yeah.
You know, to be more persuasive is to look at how does this benefit the company? How does what I do add value to the company?
Well, that's going
to
be tricky. Another stumbling block. Yeah. Okay.
So if you can show that you have saved the company time, or saved them money, or shown that the work that you do helps them earn more money, then I mean that's an easy way to justify that. Look, obviously I'm adding value by being here. Or even, you know, if you can't find a direct correlation to money, just show how you are providing value, either with your team, in the job, because that's where they're going to look at why should we compensate you more.
Okay, I think I've got this. Okay. Any other top tips that I should include?
I think, you know, you want to be firm, but you don't want to feel like you can't give them a way out.
Okay.
or
flattery. I really like you.
Lots of love.
All those shoes you're wearing today are particularly nice.
Yeah. Have you? Yeah. Just really, you want to put it so, you know, what are the benefits for them for paying you more, and show why you add value rather than I would, you know. What you don't want to say is like, well, I'd be a lot happier, you know, if you just gave me more money, because then I could go out and buy lots of nice things.
Yes, no.
That doesn't swing well with employers.
Absolutely. Kiss on the end or not?
Kiss, hugs, if you can, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, send. We'll see how that goes down. I'll let you know whether that pay rise is happening or not. Oh, this is exciting. Email from the boss. What's she saying? That'd be a no. I told you I should have said I liked her shoes. Oh, Amy, you let me down.
Always worth a try.
Honestly. This from Anne on the subject of these trick-or-treat notices that you can get hold of. She says, I am a neighbourhood coordinator and I usually order stickers for my area, but I was told that none are available anymore.
Oh.
Adrian, however, from Bognor says you can get those notices from your local library. He does every year. Mm. So there you go. We're taking a look through the papers this afternoon with Amy Harrison, and the next story you found for us.
Yeah, a doctor has actually been struck off because he was calling in sick, usually on the weekends. And then he was moonlighting as a TV commentator at show jumping events.
He didn't think that he might get spotted.
Well, funnily enough, some of them were around the world. So, I mean, I think he was based in Scunthorpe.
Right.
And his colleagues started to get suspicious when one time when he was away, he came back with a tan. I think he'd been to the States to do some TV commentary, and the weather in Scunthorpe had not been particularly well.
No.
So that started to arouse suspicion. Then one of them recognised his voice on one of the events, and he's been struck off because they've said that his the dishonesty is fundamentally incompatible with working as a doctor.
Gosh.
Which I don't know if that's a little bit too harsh.
Have you ever been caught out like that? I know someone who called in sick once, and then they went to Ascot, the races, and when you're watching it on TV and the Queen drove by, you could see them stood behind. And I know someone I went to school with who bunked off school one day, went down to Brighton Seafront, was going on the rides and what have you. Anyway, one of the rides broke, like the big wheel or something broke, and they got stuck up there. Their picture was on the front page of the Argus. Talk about getting busted.
That's brilliant. I've only ever done it once when I was working in a cafe, and it was just the timing. I called in sick the day after a works night out.
Yeah, that's
was never going to wash.
No, not
I was
really.
I was naive in thinking they'd believe it was a cold or something.
It just suddenly came on. So yeah. I was fine last night, and now look, wine flu. That's what I call that. I'd love to hear from you on this. The time you got caught out, maybe you called in sick, and then you were spotted somewhere you shouldn't have been. You can call me 03459 570057. You can come on anonymously. That's not a problem. You can also text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Of course, if you're bunking off today, probably best not to call in just in case someone recognises your voice. Amy Harrison is taking a look through the papers for us, and this is a good one, finally.
Yeah, it's just a quick story. A guy, he had just split up with his wife, went to the pub to drown his sorrows, came home, woke up, couldn't quite remember what he'd done the night before, and it turns out that he'd stolen part of his neighbour's patio. Walking home, had managed to... And he said that he sort of went out into his front drive and saw that there were 7 flagstones that he couldn't remember taking, but obviously had. Completely confessed and apologised to it all, but just... And that's a lot of effort.
Yeah, because what would possess you to steal someone's patio?
And it wasn't his next-door neighbour. It was about 5 houses down.
That is really
That's a few
random.
Trips.
And as you say, it's a lot of work. Yeah. You've had a few drinks. You want to sit in the corner with a kebab, not
exactly.
Start lugging your neighbour's patio
up the street. That patio.
That is weird, isn't it? That is very odd. Now, we were talking a little bit about how to ask for a pay rise earlier. Yeah. I tried.
I can only apologise.
Yeah, but you are very good, in all seriousness, when it comes to persuasive writing. If people want to find out more about what you do.
Yeah, so my main site is harrisonamy.com. That's what I've been using ever since I started as a copywriter. And as I say, I've gone on and trained companies in how to be more persuasive, because there's more demand. People are starting to blog about their businesses. And something that I'm launching next month is, it's a brand new website. It's called writewithinfluence.com. And it is going to be, it's a course, it's an online course that you can do. And it's aimed at business owners. So people who are maybe thinking about, you know, I want to improve the content on my website. I want to write a really nice looking leaflet, a nice brochure. What words do I use? How do I really sell the value of what I offer without sounding cheesy or pushy? Because this is what people have told me.
Yeah, you've got to get the right.
You want to get the balance right. You want to sound like yourself.
Thank you so much for today, and we'll see you in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, thank you.
Loving.